At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna J. White, and I'm so glad that you're here with us today. You are on Wounded to Wonderful Radio and Keeping It Real. Today's guest is I'm so excited because I got our name right. You know how I do that. I mess people's names up, audience, you know. But I mean well. I really do mean well. And you're at the right place because this is the destination to hear the real things from real people who just want to talk real and just want to share what they learned or know in their experience or their lives working. But today we're going to empower you, and our guest today is Dewani Jane. Welcome, Dewani. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much, Edna. Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy you're here. It's 3 a.m. where she is, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm so happy she's here.
It's early morning.
Yes.
So let me tell something about myself. I'm Dewani Jane. And I'm an engineer by qualification, but I chose a completely different path. And I have become a social entrepreneur now.
Nice.
And I run my own non-profit organization called Karma Foundation. And I started it with a vision to build, to contribute my bit to build an inclusive society.
Nice.
And my idea was to do it by empowering each and every person.
Sounds nice.
Without any distinction on the basis of religion, caste, creed, or any other kind of discrimination, so that each one of us can live a life of dignity.
Yes.
As an empowered entity. And therefore, with this vision and mission, I started Karma Foundation. And as the name also suggests, I strongly believe in the power of thoughts, words, and actions.
Ooh.
And hence, it is called Karma.
So okay.
That is your concerted actions. And I believe that you can change anything through your own actions.
Oh.
So that is...
A lady of my own heart. Lady of my own heart. Yes, that's great. Oh, you got me a little excited now. I think we might have to have her back, which I'm going to have her back because I need to hear about her business a little bit more. And so the subject we're talking about today is really something you really probably can help us with. So it's relationships, how we can overcome if we had a bad past or it's just something that traumatized us that we said in as a little child we would never want again. I know for me, I've said that a couple of times. So let's talk about the relationship dynamic, and I know you can talk about that, Dewani.
That is a really important thing because I feel the first few years of your life can actually impact your whole journey. And children have a very impressionable mind, you know?
Oh, of course.
So whatever we see when we are young, we just take it with us as we grow, and that impacts our whole personality. So it sometimes becomes very difficult to overcome that. But definitely nothing is impossible in this world. I've seen people growing up, changing themselves, overcoming the negative impacts and so on.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was born in a very liberal family and my childhood has been a very happy-go-lucky type. In fact,
that's good.
I would say I faced a shock later in life when you face those kind of, when people kind of mistreat you in the outside world, your eyes open and you realize, oh, there are other kind of personalities as well.
Right, so, absolutely. Yeah. I get it. You traumatize, you know, as a person, I don't think I know anyone that hasn't been traumatized, you know, whether it be young or old. I don't think I know anyone. I mean, you have to live in a bubble, and even if you live in a bubble, I mean, you have to come out of the bubble at one point. But I don't think I know anyone, you know, that has not been traumatized in some way. And I like that you said that, you know, the first few years are very important. That's great to know. The first few years, and it's a, you know, I know that the sphere of influence is your parents, you know, everyone that you grow up around in your close proximity. So they either pour into you or pull out of you. And that's very important, right? Right? It's very important.
Absolutely. I think your parents have the most important effect because they are our first kind of interactive people we talk with. And maybe they are the people we look for everything. They are our role models. So, and if we have a very good relationship, a strong relationship with our parents, we start learning to trust the world.
Yes.
And if we have a disturbed relationship with our parents, we tend to think that the whole world is like that.
Absolutely.
So that is our small world when we are growing, and we actually believe that to be true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And being a small child too, you have so much faith in yourself. See, that's really great to know, is like you have, as a child, I remember myself doing things, I was like, wow, if I was an adult, I would have never did that. But a child has so much faith in themselves, it's tremendous. That's why I always say, go back, you know, go back to everything that you used to think about yourself as a child, you know, and if you remember, even if you were damaged, like for myself, right, my trauma began at the age 5 or 6, but I can remember the good times, like before then, I honestly can remember them. Like, I honestly can, like, reach back and say, I wasn't afraid to get on a tree and pull it down and then catapult into the air, not thinking I was going to land on, like, you know, hard ground, break my head open. I knew I was going to land in a great piece of ground. You know, I really did. I never thought those things. Never thought that anything would happen to me. Never thought if I walked out the door, you know, a dog would bite me. Never thought. You know, we pet animals all the time, right? Never thinking, oh, that dog is going to bite me, you know? So we have so much faith. We have so much faith in ourselves. What were we going to say?
Yeah, we have so much faith in ourselves, our capabilities, and we know that we have a support system we can fall upon.
Yes.
But when that support system kind of gets disrupted, that is the time that we actually lose faith, not only in the world, but ourselves.
Exactly,
and
we do.
When we lose faith in ourselves, that is the point that we start going down.
Yeah.
We go on a downward journey.
Right. We spiral down, we become, our self-worth is challenged. Our confidence is challenged. Our ability to see people in good light, like you said,
absolutely,
is totally challenged. You know, everyone has an ulterior motive. And you don't see the true, or you don't feel the trueness of that person. You just see everybody bad, you know. And that's carried on in years as you're an adult, too. I've heard adults say, oh, I don't trust anybody when I first meet them. And I'm like, well, how do you come in front of them? You have to trust coming in front of them. I don't trust anybody. And I was like, well, that's kind of like a misnomer. No, you have to. Because if you're standing in front of somebody, you trust. You have some type of trust. And I think that comes from, like you said, when as a child, everyone around you kind of faltered on that trust issue. Now let's talk about how, you know, okay, my trauma started when I was a small child. And I know I started making agreements with myself. So we all have these agreements. You know, we see something that we don't like, I will never do that, you know. I will, you know, we start making these agreements, not knowing those agreements become like our commandments. It really, you know, we walk around with Absolutely. The commandments on us, you know. So let's talk about us making those agreements. You know, we talked about our mistrust and how our faith in ourselves has gone. Let's talk about us making those commandments, as it were.
I think, yes, commitments do play a very important role mm-hmm. because that is a kind of defense mechanism that we apply.
Yes. Right? So yes.
Maybe like if at all you have been sexually assaulted during your childhood, you would stop having faith on any person of the opposite gender. And then Absolutely. You would shy away from interacting with them.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, fortunately, I was raised in a very liberal and a very happy-go-lucky family where mm-hmm. I could discuss almost anything and everything with my parents.
Right.
So even if somebody mistreated me at school, I would just straight away come and discuss with my mother or my father, right. or for that matter, even my elder brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get the right direction in that way. And I would know, oh, this is right. Oh, this is wrong. And before making a commitment to myself, I would know, oh, was it my fault?
Right.
The problem comes, those commitments can have a good and a bad effect on us.
Right.
If we have a support system, if we can interact with people, if we know the right and wrong, we will make a commitment that will be fulfilling for us.
Right.
So we will probably be more cautious when interacting with strangers. But if we do not get that kind of correct guidance, I think that is the time we might take wrong commitments.
Okay.
So maybe what we do is we ignore and we stop talking to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the right way. We just have to be more cautious.
We
have to know that thin line.
Mm-hmm.
But altogether, staying in your room, not interacting with people, that is not right. And that will have a negative impact on your whole journey.
Yeah.
So those commitments have to be made with a lot of guidance and support from your people, from your teachers, from your family, and so on.
Yes.
So you can make the right commitments in life and stay safe.
Sure. And I'm sure that once you you make, like I review myself all the time. I'm a reviewer. I'm always thinking, I don't check anybody else, I check myself. So I'm always checking myself, checks and balances. And a lot of the agreements that I did agree to, because I remember, and we all have said this as young women, I get ready to get married, I'm going to have a white picket fence, one dog, two kids, and this big, brawly husband, you know, sort of like the Ken doll effect, right? And so you agree to that. It's on your chest. It's on, you know, you got it, like, I'm the bride-to-be. I'm ready, you know, and then you really get married, you'd be like, oh, this is not the picket fence thing. And everything changes. It really changes. And so you have to reevaluate.
And sometimes that breaks your heart as well.
It does. And you know, I think that's the whole thing. You know, the commandment that you have really is a command. Like, you're commanding somebody else. It's like a, what are those lights, in, like those bright lights that just, they flicker all the time? That's what a commandment is. It flickers to other people, this is what I want. And you don't matter, this is what I'm getting. And it really is not the true way to live. So give me an example. Have you ever experienced someone has, you know, I know you probably counsel a lot of people.
Yeah.
Give me some, you know, an example of someone and share with the audience a pure example.
I think the kind of example you gave, almost every person in my country have dreamt of a fancy wedding and, you know, okay, my life after wedding would be this, I would have a husband like this, my family would be like this. So almost, I think, from early childhood, we start making those commitments and dreams, I would rather say. So, and most of the times, unfortunately, those dreams do not come true.
No.
People then, yeah.
they don't.
It's not only the early childhood, we keep making commitments all through our life. But then, as you said, we need to differentiate between what is real and what can just, right. what can be just too good to be true.
Right.
So, right. like you said, then you start thinking of that commitment all the time.
Right.
And that kind of disturbs us sometimes.
Right.
So,
and then we do think about it all the time. We do think about that, those commitments, we do think about them. It's not subconscious, it's really, we're thinking about them. We're like, it's like we wake up like a prayer, like, I'm getting married, picket fence, husband, two kids. You know, we're saying it, we're really saying it.
Sometimes you have sleepless nights as well.
Yes, yes.
Well, yes. The more you try to sleep, you would only have thoughts about that.
Yes.
Maybe during the day, you're busy in other activities, so you kind of forget. But the moment you lie down, those thoughts keep coming
exactly.
to your mind. And that is so disturbing.
And we can't even get sleep. You know, and, you know, I really do believe that, you know, and this is a sidebar, everybody, that when we sleep, our souls have more room to create. And I believe in quantum leaping. I believe in all of that. I believe it has more room to create. So what we go to sleep with on our minds before we kind of release all of that, we dream about that and we take ourselves there. I really do believe that releasing some of those things, and we'll talk about that. Let's talk about releasing some of those things. How do we begin to release? How do we start to like make the corrections in our lives if we didn't have that, you know, that great life, you know,
absolutely.
With our parents or with whoever raised us, if we had trauma, how do we start to correct that in our adult stage? You know, and there's nothing wrong with any stage getting better. There's no age limit on getting better, becoming a better person. So how do we begin as human beings to start to do that?
Absolutely. I think there is no age bar on when you can start afresh.
Right.
And like I said in the beginning, I strongly believe in the power of thoughts, words, and actions.
That's right.
So the first thing that you need to do is change your thoughts, change
yes.
your thinking pattern.
Right.
You need to interact with yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Engage in positive self-talk, maybe.
Right.
So sometimes what happens is we start blaming ourselves for a bad relationship. So, like you said, if you get into a bad marriage, you start
right.
blaming yourself. So what you need to do is you need to actually rationalize the whole scenario.
Yes.
You need to talk to yourself. You need to find out, okay, you need to, you know, jot down the points, what is right, what is going wrong, and have a conversation with your own soul, with your own self.
Right, exactly.
Once you start believing that, okay, this wasn't my fault. And
right.
sometimes it is not the other person's fault as well. It
right.
is just the situation.
Just wasn't
so
time.
So when you start giving the right focus
right.
on the right things. So
right.
it's not always people's fault. Most
no.
of the times, I think it would be a situation and we unnecessarily put guilt on us, put so much pressure on us
mm-hmm.
that as if we are doing everything.
Right.
So we need to rationalize that. We need to change our thinking patterns.
Right.
And I also believe that we need to build fresh relationships,
right.
build trust. We need to give a fair chance in
right.
every relationship.
Right.
Like, with an open heart in mind, engage in an open conversation with
right.
people. And sometimes we need to just let go of things.
Right.
We need to
release
share our insecurities.
Yes. You know, and that's a really good point.
Like I say, we show that we are too strong,
right?
But that becomes a negative at points.
Yes.
At times, yes. So
yes.
we must have a group of friends or some kind of relationship where we can be what we truly are. We
yeah.
do not have to wear a mask in every
yeah,
relationship.
It's a great thing.
So we need to remove that mask at times. It could be
it
a
is.
Friend. It could be even your children. It
yeah.
could be your spouse. It could be anybody in the world.
Mm-hmm. They'll
and
let you be free.
In fact, I'll tell you something very funny. I've observed people talking to strangers.
Yeah.
So because you're
yeah.
not judged there.
Yeah. That's true.
So
or like on a park bench or something.
Just
that's true.
Go out and travel and share your inner feelings with a stranger. They would definitely not judge
they,
you
it's
and
true.
Won't bother you as well.
It's true. I love to travel before this COVID thing, and the relationships that I formed, you know, in different countries, I still have. They're amazing. It's like, how could you answer me like that and be so open and loving and not, you know, non-judgmental. It's like, yeah, it's just like an open-ended question, and it's just so empowering. Like, wow. And those relationships I still have to this day.
Right.
I like your mantra, thoughts, words, actions. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. I'm going to tweet that. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Thoughts, words, actions. A lot of times we get to the point, and you have been saying it, when we start to work on ourselves, we work on the other person and tell them their faults, what they've done, you know, how this is, how that is. We do a lot of that stuff. We get all that, you know, addressed, because that's what we're supposed to do, or we're told we're supposed to get things straight. But really, it means you're supposed to get yourself straight. When I was divorced, I took my part. I was really in tune with myself, and I said I took my part, and I apologize for my part. I said, but, you know, it's over. You know, it's just done. This is what, I take my part. I don't blame anyone. And so when I was apologizing, and you have to be specific on apologies. That's another thing. We say, oh, well, I apologize for everything. For everything? You can't, what?
You cannot apologize for everything in the world. Yeah.
In the world, you can't just, so, when I was apologizing, I made sure I was specific. That is very important, that you apologize, you know what you've done. See, when you address yourself and you want to change things in yourself, you know exactly what you've done. You know exactly what you've done. To the minutest thing, you know exactly what you've done. Not to say it's wrong or right. It's maybe you that's something you learned. Not to say it. It's just that you know what you've done to contribute to uncomfortableness. That's what uncomfortableness, you know, and not being growing and maturing in our own selves. Second part of what I like about what you said is the action part. Okay, we find out something's wrong with us. We find out, no, not wrong with us, but we've done some things that were not quite right. But we don't put any action to make it right.
Absolutely.
And that's why I like thoughts, words, action. I wrote it down because I'm gonna tweet that. Because actions are very important to change what you didn't like in life, or what you want to correct that was you inherited. You want to be able to actionably say to yourself, I can't do that because I realized it was wrong. I can't do that. I got to be responsible for myself and my actions. And I remember I made a pact with myself before I even knew. A lot of times in life,
yeah,
people, your family doesn't know anything else but to do what they've always done. And so when they hand it to you, you don't know what to do with it. So you're like, what do I do with this? So I always think about lies. I refuse to lie. It's the worst thing. It's deception. It's manipulation. It's all of that. So I had agreed with myself when I was like 18, I think. I will do my best not to lie. That's my words. Those were my words. I will do my best not to lie. And I've always kept that. That's my thing. It's in the back of my head, you know. And sometimes it kind of hurts me not to, because, you know. But then, as a mature person that's learning to align themselves, you learn to say it in such a way that it's received. I've become such an effective communicator without working in my pain. Without, you know how you're painful and you're thinking, oh, like you said, you talked about the baggage. You go to the next guy or the next girl and you're like, you know, you're bringing this baggage with you and you unpack it in front of them. I don't want this. I don't want that. Hold on. I don't want this. You know, you got all this stuff coming out and you just met the person, you know. So
right.
The actions, I think, are important. They're very important. Work. Work on yourself.
And you need to take ownership of your life.
Yes.
You can't just... when you do not take actions, you keep blaming others. And you always point fault on others. So I don't think... we are so powerful that we can change everything. We need to take ownership of our lives.
Exactly.
And like you said, just give best. Give your 100% to a situation. That is whatever best we can do. We should just do that.
Right.
And the rest, yeah.
And we know the best. See, the thing is we know what's the best. We do.
Absolutely.
We
do know what's good for us.
Exactly. And we know what's bad.
We know our situation.
Right.
We know our situation the best.
Right.
Our perspective on our things would be, you know, the real truth.
Exactly.
People can give us advice. You must take it. I always say I'll take advice from everybody, but I will decide on my own.
Girl, bye. That is a good one right there. I like it. I will take advice from everyone, but I will decide on my own.
Yes.
And that's great. I'm going to write that down because I'm taking that. I'm going to take that. That's another one. Another tweetable. I will take advice from everyone, but I will decide on my own. Perfect. I'm going to say you said it. That's great. That is so good. I'm writing it down. That's so good. Well, that was excellent.
I have always followed it. Sometimes people do get upset with me that I do not take their advice. But that's okay. That is their way of looking at things. This is my way of doing things.
Exactly. It's true. It's your life.
Talking to different people and taking their advice is definitely important because we have a limited perspective. In
right.
fact, when we talk to
right.
multiple people,
mm-hmm.
we know... the complete view. We
right.
have different perspectives. We understand the same situation from different angles. And then we can actually take the right decision.
Uh-huh.
So.
And it's good that you will take, being like what you said is like you hear people's advice. And I know I started going to church a lot. You know, that was my... fail safe because I was a broken kid, you know, and I thought that this place would kind of make me whole. But I began to allow people to speak things into my life that I couldn't see happening. Like it wasn't working. Every time I tried to do it, it wasn't working. It was always very difficult.
Right.
And you said something that was very important. You can be yourself without having a mask on. And sometimes that advice or that whatever they're saying over to you. Oh, you're going to be a lawyer. You talk really smart. You're going to be a lawyer. Knowing good and well, you don't want to be a lawyer. You know, kids know. I don't want to be a lawyer.
You know? We have a different vision for ourselves. So.
Yeah, and we can make the decisions ourselves.
But definitely those words from other people have a positive influence as well.
Right.
When somebody tells you, oh, you are a warrior. Probably you would start thinking, oh, yes, I'm good. I'm not that bad.
Yeah, right.
So they have that positive impact on you for sure.
Exactly.
You go down in life, you lose hope. Then you need people to just pick you up.
Yeah.
So all those things are important.
They are important. You know, I used to lead the choir, and I also used to lead a praise and worship service at church. And everybody was like, oh, you sound really great. You, and I was like, yeah, thank you. But I never wanted to do a record. You know, it's like, I'm not going to go in and make a singing career, you know? It's like, it's not me. It wasn't me. And you can decide. And I did just what you said. I will listen to your advice, but I will make, you know, I will make my own.
You made some changes according to your...
Yes. Which makes so much, it's so good. Yeah, that's a really good thing to know. And our audience should know that, you know, you have to take that thoughts, the words, and the actions. And then you decide, out of all of this that's happening now, you could have been dealt a bad deal when you're in family life and became traumatized. But then you have to make the thoughts, the words, and the actions better for yourself. You're the one that creates your life. And that's what matters.
Powerful person.
Yeah.
We have power in ourselves.
Exactly. We are the most powerful.
Powerful person, yeah.
We are.
Each one of us has that power.
Exactly. And you know what? I learned that so long ago that I had power. And I was like, You know, because as someone who's broken, you always want to get advice from somebody else because you don't trust yourself. And I always did that. And it was always, when am I going to ever have the answer? You know, and one time I found myself without anyone to ask any advice that I knew. You know, it's like, wow, I was in China for a year. And I was like, I got there and I was like, wow, I'm by myself. I can't ask anybody for anything. So I have to figure it out. And doing that, I've learned that I had the power to do anything I wanted in doing that.
Absolutely.
So that's, you know, you can change with any relationship, audience. You can change anything. You can change how you are. You can change it. I know it's a bit more developed when you're talking about abusive relationships, but I'm talking about the power of you. You, I'm talking about. We're talking about that together. Is the power of you. What do you want to change that wasn't right in your life? Now you need to change it. How do you do that? And this was the thoughts, the words, and the actions sums it up. What do you think, Tawani?
Absolutely. I think the first agent of change is we ourselves.
Yes.
So before we try to change
anyone
else, before we try to change anybody else or any situation, we need to work on ourselves.
Yes.
And change ourselves.
Okay.
And once we do that, I think we can simultaneously work on the relationships,
mm-hmm.
and what went wrong and make some positive change in everything.
Right.
And one more important point, we have
mm-hmm.
to be during all, in every relationship, we have to be non-judgmental.
Got it.
So most of the times we make a mistake that we have some preconceived notions and biases, and that is how we start interacting.
Yes.
For any new relationship, we have to start it on a positive note without any biases, without any prejudice, and start a conversation. Only then we would know each other, the real person that you are,
right.
and the real person that I am.
Right.
And then we would know how far we can go together.
Right. That's a great point. Because most of the times when we are hurting and in pain, we take the person that upset us or hurt us, and they're on our back. So they come
yes,
with us.
We carry that.
We carry it, and it's so difficult.
And that spoils the
whole thing.
Yes.
It does. So I like the point, number one, to change yourself. Take control of yourself. And number two, no judgment. That's it. No judgment.
Absolutely.
For yourself or anyone else. No judgment. See, when I stopped judging, I saw people for who they were. And I was able to embrace their energy, the whole thing. It was just like, you know, I saw somebody, you know, I remember talking to this guy. I was at the library, and he was you know, street homeless, and
yeah.
he had aluminum foil all over his body. So I was just looking at him, and I said, "Hello, how are you?" And I kept on doing what I was doing. He says, you're talking to me. I said, "Yeah, I think you speak English, right?" And he started laughing. And so he was talking to me. And he's a very intelligent man. And he said to me, "You're going to be really blessed," he said to me. I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Because you're you. You stopped to say hello to me. And you even smiled. You didn't look down. You looked at my face." And he said, "You're really going to be blessed." I say that is because, to say this, that I was non-judgmental with him.
Absolutely.
And I didn't think, oh, he smells or anything. I didn't even think any of that. It was just like instant, like he was a person. He was standing next to me. And, "Hello, how are you?" You know? And
a simple gesture. But
simple gesture, yes.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. And being judgmental doesn't have no rose-colored glasses on. You see clearly. You even see past the person. That makes sense. You see past them.
And you build more meaningful relations.
You do.
Whenever.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. And it's no. And you have no judgment. And you have. And the best thing with no judgment, you have no judgment on yourself.
Yourself.
That's
you
the worst.
You don't have so much stress on your brain.
Yes. There's no stress.
You have to do more important than
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Someone told me today, they're like, they asked me, how did I feel? I said, I feel terrific. And they were like, wait, you got to feel bad some days. I said, I do, but in the face of it, I have to feel terrific. Because I say, if I don't feel good, at least I can feel, because there's some people that can't feel. And he's like, oh, I get it. And I was like, yeah, you have to. You have to look past all of that. Enjoy that you can, you know. So you always up, you know, bringing spiraling things up instead of spiraling things down. Yes. So it's really good. This has been a load of fun. You know I'm going to have you back. I'm going to give you a sleeping break for maybe a month and then I'll call you back. Because I'll give you a break.
Because I'd love to be back with you. I really love you.
You are, like, amazing. And I'm ready to hear all about your nonprofit organization. I'm really excited for it. I'm glad that you're doing it because so many people need to know about, you know, being themselves and growing and empowered. Because there's so many that are not empowered. And during this COVID thing that's going on, people need to be empowered. So I know that, you know, a sisterhood of mine on that side of town is doing her thing, you know, and she is empowering people. Duane Jane, I can say truly thank you for coming, and we will have you back. We're going to sign off, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Edna. I really enjoyed being here.
I did too.
I look forward to join you again.
Yes, yes, we got to do that. This is Edna White and Duane Jane saying bye-bye for now.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.